live from the Lido Deca Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, Turkey. It's the Ringhausen Brothers and Sisters Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With our special guest, the eldest of the Ringhausen Sisters, world traveler and bon vivant, third place finisher in the 2018 Celebrity Pro-Am Female Tag Team Alligator Wrestling Tournament in Pebble Beach, California, and a woman who wakes up every day and thanks heaven that she looks like her mother instead of her father, Ringhausen, and with your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and the best uncle a child could ask for, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who's not afraid to swallow watermelon seeds while he eats his watermelon, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yay. Rick, so, how'd you figure the song out?
I can't help but notice this is the most modern music that you've ever used for an intro. And I've heard it before.
So you know what it is?
It's the background music from their vacation trip video shows.
It's California Girl, right?
California Girls. Yeah.
Katy Perry, that's who you're wrestling with in that pro-am, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Katie's pretty tough. I saw her in that that Roar video.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in her red, white, and blue 4th of July outfit.
Firework is the video that you're referring to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's making a comeback, by the way, in case you guys didn't know. She has a new album coming out.
Oh, she's out there in the media constantly mm-hmm. yep. right now.
Mm-hmm. Katie.
Rick's aware of that.
Hey, they get her to sing the national anthem at the next All-Star game.
Oh.
What? Remember a couple months ago when they had the All-Star break?
Yeah, it was terrible. They took her straight from the stadium to rehab.
Yeah, I heard that. She said she was going right into rehab and apologized. I guess she's drunk. Some country singer, right?
Yeah, whatever.
I assume they're all drunk. I assume Johnny Cash never ever played sober, did he?
He says he didn't.
Well, that's good enough for me.
He's sober now.
So, you know, we got a guest with us tonight.
Yeah, we do. Eldest daughter, right here.
My niece. Julia's sister. Hi, nice to have you. Appreciate you being here.
Eldest daughter, hello. Nice to see everyone. Eldest Ringhausen daughter.
Visiting the Midwest.
Yeah. I came all the way here just for this, actually.
Elizabeth Ringhausen. How's that?
The what?
I said that Elizabeth Ringhausen.
Wow. You broke down and said it.
I'll bleep
it. He can. Yeah, there we go. You should do that the whole time. If either of you actually mentioned my name.
He did it in the intro. Didn't you notice? Okay. Okay. Thank you.
This oldest daughter of yours, though, I actually follow her on Facebook. You're like one of the youngest people on Facebook. You know that?
What? Yeah, the younger half of my generation doesn't do Facebook. They only do Instagram if they're older. And then the younger you get, you just move to TikTok. Do you guys know what TikTok
is? Sure, we do.
So, okay.
Yeah. It's something the Chinese concocted, right?
Whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh. Correct. Yeah.
See, smart guy.
Yeah, but they're making an effort right now to have it outlawed in the United States of America, I think.
They've been trying to do that for years, and it hasn't happened. So
we got this daughter of yours. Her job is to set the podcast up on Instagram now, right?
Or TikTok.
Or TikToks, yeah.
Should I start videoing you guys right now for the TikToks? We can do little 10-second clips.
Oh, no, we don't do anything where our faces are shown.
Well, then TikTok's going to be hard for you because that's the whole thing. It's video.
I figure if we move up to Instagram, we moved up about 35 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that this podcast was beyond our
capabilities. Yeah, I was pretty proud of this.
Beyond our age limit of what's capable.
I have been impressed with, the capabilities of the podcast.
Are you okay? Nobody comes down to the podcast room and compliments us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought I'd try because maybe you'll be a little nicer
she
throughout.
Brought snacks. She's only the second of the Ringhausen sisters to be on our show, though. back in the other format, the my middle daughter
was a regular.
Jackie Ringhouse introduced you to weather reports.
Till she got too smart for us.
Is that why I'm here?
Yeah.
You're here to dumb it down.
Thank you. Yeah.
I did see that you're like a world traveler. Like I said, I watch her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they go all over. She travels a lot more than you ever travel.
She's been to Illinois. She's been to Missouri.
Missouri.
Where else you been?
Michigan.
California.
I have not been to Michigan. Believe it or not.
Oh, there you go.
It's beautiful.
See how limited she is?
It's beautiful.
Incredibly limited.
See, yeah. Now I've been to Michigan.
Kansas. I've been to Kansas several times. Well. Driven all the way across it. Really got in the lay of the land in Kansas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the Corn Palace? I went to the Corn Palace not too long ago.
Of the 50 states, how many have you marked off?
Over 30. I'm coming up on 40. 36, 37, 38. Yeah.
Of the seven continents, how many have you been on?
Wait. Back up on that. Don't answer that one yet.
Okay.
Alan, how many states have you been in?
I think about 45.
What are you missing? That's only five. What do you know that you're missing?
I haven't been to Maine.
What?
I don't think I've been in Mississippi or Alabama.
Okay.
And maybe one of the other little ones up there.
Richard Ringhausen, 48.
What are you missing?
Kidding. Alaska and Idaho.
Do you have any? Alaska's a destination, yeah. But Idaho, is that a? Or do you plan to go just to check it off?
Or? Yes, I plan on driving out to the West Coast at some point so I can drive through Idaho.
Okay.
You'd be better off just fly out there and come back home.
I was thinking of doing a D.B. Cooper and jump out of the airplane going over. Do you know who D.B. Cooper is?
Yes, I do know who D.B.
Who is D.B. Cooper?
He was the...
Don't say you know if you aren't ready to answer that.
He was in... They had like a whole like movie based off of him.
Okay. That's not an answer.
He did a heist and then he jumped out of the airplane. That's like what like part of Prison Break is based on, isn't it?
Well, I don't know none of that.
Do you know
that.
The show? Okay.
Yeah. But yes, that's
Greg's
correct.
Not here, but so should I Google it?
So she corrects. She's correct on that. Now I want to talk about Egypt.
Okay.
You went to Egypt.
I went to Egypt.
Did you ride a camel?
I did ride a camel in front of the pyramids. Also rode a camel in Jordan, so camel riding.
Do they smell?
Covered. The camels really, I didn't
do they
think
bite
they
you?
Smelled. No, they spit.
They spit on you?
The camel spit, and the most challenging thing about the camel is the camels sit all the way down on the ground, and then you climb on them. But the camels, when they sit down, instead of sitting to where their elbows, if you will, fold backwards, they actually fold forwards. So when the camel goes to stand up, it leans super far forward.
And throws you on the
and
ground.
And it'll throw you forward and over its head if you don't hold on the right
okay,
way.
Okay, were you riding a two-hump wump or a one-hump wump gump?
Only one hump. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even see
that's
any
a
two humps.
That's a bacterian camel.
So you weren't down in the swale.
You're not down, no. You're up on top of...
Yeah,
no, the hump.
That's real camel riding.
And is the hump all wobbly? What's the hump feel like?
When the camel goes to stand up, you got to lean way back or you're going to get thrown over the front of the camel. And then the whole time, I mean, granted, I'm kind of small, but when we all got off the camels, we were all complaining about how our hips hurt because it's real. You sit real wide across the camel and you just sway
now,
the
entire
time.
Did you have reins or did you have some little Egyptian boy with a stick riding behind him, whipping it going, the whole time?
So when we were in front of the pyramids, there were people who were, my camel was attached to Alex's camel. And then Egyptian guy we'd paid like $5 was leading the camel. But toward the end of our camel ride,
they just turn you loose.
No, my husband specifically asked if he could have the reins so he could drive the camel. Remember, my camel's connected to his camel.
And was that a dromedary faux pas?
No. They were really excited.
He was in the lead
see...
because he was the man.
You know what? That was probably about right in Egypt. That was pretty much the whole
chauvinistic
cultural situation.
Did you have any camel cheese or camel meat or camel burgers?
We did not. No, camel. They were definitely a mode of transportation in Egypt, to the point that one of my favorite memories of Egypt, and not favorite in a non-stressful way, but just really encompassed Egypt and specifically Cairo, It's one of the most chaotic places I've ever been in my entire life. And we were at a...
Did you see your own house when they were preparing for your wedding?
No, I did not. You got to realize I moved at that point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was it that bad? I wouldn't compare anything to Cairo. I promise it wasn't that chaotic. But you're in the streets of Cairo, and there's no marking. There's no lanes, and there's really no stop signs, and there's no stop lights. And you have a mix of donkeys and carts. You have vehicles. You have motorbikes, and you have camels, and they're all just kind of at intersections, and everything just goes.
And day after day, sorts itself out, no matter
somehow,
what.
Somehow it does.
Without any of that stuff. I always say that if the legislature exploded and killed them all today, and you never enacted another law, how long would it be before your life would be affected?
Rick, you got to stop killing politicians.
All right, Elizabeth, you're from California. You've surfed?
I have surfed, yes.
Have you done paddleboard where you stand up on paddleboard?
I have done that, yes.
Okay, when you were in Egypt.
Snorkel?
Now, when you were Scuba. In Egypt, there's a point to this question.
Scuba?
When you were in Egypt riding a camel, mm-hmm. did you stand up on the back of the hump and do a Johnny Quest?
She has no idea what Johnny Quest is.
Tell her what this is, Alan.
Johnny Quest is a 70s cartoon that we used to watch all the time, and the kid traveled all over the world with this professor dad and bodyguard and little friend named Haji.
Who is culturally inappropriate, but go ahead. But when they went to Egypt...
He rode on a camel.
And not only rode it, he stood on the top of the hump. On top of the hump while it galloped.
I would find that it would be almost impossible.
I bet there's some guy out there.
I'm sure there is.
Well, you're not Johnny Quest, are you? Or a guy.
It was challenging enough to just stay on the camel sitting there. That was enough.
Is that the most exotic beast you've ever rode upon?
Yeah, definitely. It's the most exotic animal.
Did you ride on a Komodo dragon?
I didn't ride on a Komodo dragon, but I did experience the Komodo dragon prepped to
wrestle
run.
Wrestle it?
She's been to the island of Komodo.
Did you wrestle it?
That would be pretty close.
How many different islands actually have Komodo dragons?
There are only three islands in the world that have Komodo dragons, and they're all off the coast of Indonesia.
That's a good place for them.
It is, and they've got some
Tell me about your guide. Wasn't he a one-legged guide you had?
So we're moving now to Komodo?
Sure, why not?
We
can always come back to Egypt.
Egypt's
Rick.
Been there for, 5,000 years. It all it still in great shape. We can come
but
back.
But these dragons may only last so long.
The dragons, and they have some issues sometimes. Apparently, people sneak out to the islands, and they take the dragons.
I've seen
they
that.
Try to
Matthew
sell them.
Broderick did it.
It's a they
freshman.
They try to do this, yeah.
To eat it.
To eat it?
Yeah.
They're venomous. I don't think you want to eat it.
They did in the freshman.
Well, just their teeth. The rest of the dragon's good.
It's like buffaloes. They just cut the tongue out and throw the rest of it away.
It's their saliva. They like slobber on you, then it's going to, It paralyzes you, and then they
I'm telling
attack
you. You're talking to your dad. If any animal puts saliva on him, it's going to paralyze him.
That's fair. Yeah. But the dragons, those could eat you. That's something that could actually happen, yes.
You know, it's interesting to think about the fact that people have lived on that island
forever.
Still
forever.
Do.
With dragons.
Yep, still do.
Still
that
do.
Would come out that could possibly eat you.
So
why wouldn't you move to the next island?
I'm just thinking how interesting society would be across the world if there were giant dragons
everywhere.
Honey, have you seen the baby?
They still live there, and they live in elevated houses. They're on stilts because the adult dragons can't climb them. They're too heavy. Only the baby dragons can get in there, and the baby dragons aren't venomous.
You can handle a baby dragon.
They aren't venomous. They won't hurt you. They just kick them out of the
Did you bring one
tree
home?
Houses. I did not bring one home. I think that would be some sort of... I would be in an Indonesian prison right now, I think, if they tried to, if I tried to bring a dragon home.
Okay, let's go back to Egypt. I want to talk about Egypt.
Okay.
Did you get to go in the pyramids?
I did get to go in the pyramids, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And all the way down inside of them.
All the way down inside the pyramids. And my God, was it hot.
Inside? It gets cooler as you go down. Just
no.
Gets
That's
hotter.
What I said.
That's
she
what
said
he
it doesn't.
Said. That, it gets worse. Because we were there in September.
Well, you're getting
and
closer
was,
to hell.
It's true. That's true. Well, I don't know that they were really... Hell wasn't really their bag over there.
I don't care whether they believed it or not. It's real. Go ahead.
They're in hell for not believing
that
Jesus was going to be born.
No, right. That's right, right. Yeah. So that would happen to all the Egyptians.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And they didn't have souls anyway until Moses handed out souls. Go ahead.
He taught the Egyptians a thing or two.
Yeah.
That he did. Yeah. Very, very true.
When you go to Egypt, do they tell you don't talk about Moses?
Well, considering
Where's Moses? Considering
the fact that now it's pretty much an entirely Islamic country, there wasn't a whole lot of Moses going on there. Now you get over to Jordan, and that's a whole, like, the country of Jordan, the River Jordan. We went up to Mount Sinai's there, you know, and yeah.
Named after your grandma.
See anything on fire there?
No, nothing on fire. Lots of olive trees, lots of, yeah. So we did see that. There's
disembodied voices talking to you?
No disembodied voices. Just Alex talking in my ear the whole time. Yeah.
So does he talk a lot? Let's talk about that.
He's drowning out your spiritual voice? Wow.
No, he kept asking a bunch of questions because I'm the one with the utmost religious upbringing.
How long have you been?
So I'm the one giving the stories.
How long have you been married to him?
Almost 5 years.
Do you run the marriage?
No. It's an equal partnership.
Uh-huh. Do you?
Who runs yours, Rick?
Yeah, okay. You know your Uncle Rick and Aunt Sue. Who runs that marriage, you think?
I'm sure that's also an equal living partnership.
Oh, no, it's not.
And you know your mom and dad real well. Who runs that one?
Obviously, again, equal.
Equal partnership.
Obviously, Dad.
Dad runs it.
Mm-hmm. And Uncle Brad and Aunt Lori?
Lori's in charge of that.
And if you're not in charge of Alex, you need to get your act together.
You know who's in charge of Alex? Nala. She's at home right now. Got that whole
Nala's a dog.
Relationship. Right.
Runs the house.
Have you? You've seen it. She is the alpha. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's pretty much in charge. She gets what she wants.
She's in charge of. She's in charge of them too.
Equal partnership. You look so much like your mother. It's impossible that that's the case. What?
All right. I did like your intro there. That was, yeah.
Okay, it's halfway point. You get to do a commercial. You want to do a commercial?
No, I didn't know I was doing a commercial. Let me take a look at this and see if
you don't get to
him.
Just read it.
We got some Uncle Din's here.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Read
Uncle
it with
Din's
authority. Come on. You're selling your product.
Wait a minute. What? I encountered Uncle Din, and he wants to come on and promote his own products.
Is he only going to come on to do
just
Uncle Din's?
Talk about his products?
That'd be fantastic. I tried talking him into staying tonight, and he wouldn't. Go ahead.
Is it because he knew I was?
I had to go
here
to work at the factory.
That's right. All right. Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Din's Premium Vienna Sausage Gelée.
Gelée. It's like jelly, but pronounced with a French way. Gelée.
Oh,
you know what the gelée is when you open a can of Vienna sausages.
Got it.
I did
not experience this in my travels to France. Uncle Din has worked his magic once again, taking the lean meats, trotters, rind, ears, and snout of a delicious animal known only to him. Fantastic. And letting them cook for 3 hours over a fire of seasoned applewood. All right, good seasoning at least. After stirring in his secret mixture of homegrown vinegars and juices, the broth is covered and allowed to cool into the familiar mouth-watering aspect that you've seen deliciously dripping from your Vienna sausages. Why, in some parts of France, thank you. Yeah, it's been a while since I was there. Gastronomes are known to order keeping bowls of nothing but Uncle Din's chilled
gelée.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to get that when I go back to France. So the next time you're reaching for a can of your favorite Vienna sausages, be sure and spin the can around and check the label. If you see the word Uncle Din's Premium Gelée, you will be sure that your treats are packed in the finest slime in the world. For the best culinary delights, always remember to trust your friend, Uncle Din. Oh, that's a good... That's a new tagline. I haven't heard that one
yet. Thank
you.
All right. I wrote that just for you.
Fantastic.
You know the slogan on the factory wall at Uncle Din's?
Oh, God.
Catch 'em, kill 'em, cook 'em.
You know,
I said, what does that apply to? And he said, everything.
You know, I thought when they made Vienna sausages that the whole, you know, the whole animal went into the pot. You know, it's one of those delicious treats that you just don't know what's in it.
But apparently,
the gelée, the slime that comes that they're packed in, is stuff that's not good enough to go into a Vienna sausage, and it's rendered down into slime.
You keep calling it slime.
Well, it's because your daughter can't pronounce the word gelée.
Gelée. I'm so sorry.
Okay, you could say the...
But you had slime in there. You did use the term slime.
I didn't figure you'd be able to get through the whole thing and say gelée six times.
You could say gelatinous matter.
Okay.
Gelatinous matter. Okay.
Okay.
When you see your Vienna sausage dripping with gelatinous matter, you'll know it's Uncle Den's.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I just can't help but think that our listeners assume that all you eat
is Vienna sausage.
Is Vienna sausage based on the amount of time you spend talking about it.
When I was in law school, that was about right.
Okay.
And whipped cream, I got to eat. Well, not whipped cream, no, Cool Whip.
The Cool Whip.
Right out of the tub with a spoon.
That was it?
I had freedom.
He came to the realization that he could walk into a grocery store and buy a tub of Cool Whip and eat as much as he wanted.
Okay.
Like generally when people go away to college or young men go away to college and go crazy.
They get drunk.
Drunk, do drugs, stoned, hang around with loose women.
And you just wanted to go
eat Cool Whip with a spoon.
Whatever you wanted.
Just a bowl of Cool Whip.
That's the college boy dream, I guess.
Well, his roommates came in and found him laying on the kitchen floor, unconscious, and
in a seven
empty tubs of Cool Whip laying by his head.
Fantastic.
Loved college. And then I met Suzanne.
They had to detox him.
I met Suzanne. I met somebody who could cook for me.
There you go. Okay. In college, I had the free meal plan. Yeah. And so
did you gain a whole bunch of weight?
No, not really. But the meal plan covered multiple individuals. So I was feeding Alex pretty much the entire 4 years of college, along with a variety.
Did he gain weight?
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But her food was like the food court at the college.
Yeah.
And they had a Chick-fil-A.
There was a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There was a Pizza Hut, too. You could go get those little, you know, the little individual.
Oh, they didn't have that at SIUE.
This is where she went.
No, yeah. They didn't have that at SIUE.
Well, it changed.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's changed.
Like 60 big time. Years ago. Yeah.
All right, I'm going around the world. I want to talk about Japan.
Okay.
Didn't you go to Japan, too?
I went to Japan, yes.
Okay. When you went to Japan, when you're getting off the plane, do they say, don't mention World War II?
No, we didn't. I feel like it wasn't. I guess the only place you're really going to get a whole lot of World War II history there, because I really didn't feel
they
like
lost.
It was
they don't promote it.
Was, I mean, you,
she you went could, to Hiroshima.
Hiroshima, but we didn't go down there. That seemed depressing.
Depressing, yeah.
Yeah.
They've rebuilt it. Can't even tell it got bombed.
I'm sure there's a memorial or something down
there. Did you see our Japanese exchange student while you were there?
Did you have a Japanese exchange student back in the day?
You didn't know that.
We did when we were children.
Mom decided to...
Our grandparents, your grandparents.
She decided we needed culture and signed us up to have a Japanese exchange student who came to spend the summer with us. And we just ruined him.
Did he
spoke no English.
Did he have to pick fruit?
We never really got him to do
anything. He didn't. He was about the same age as Brad. And Brad,
yeah, he was really
Brad
young.
Didn't do any work then either.
Okay. Doesn't do any work now.
No, not really.
He came here with a translation book, and he would ask for stuff, you know, like one word at a time.
Yep.
And the main thing he asked for was to go home.
he needed a root canal and was having toothache pain.
His mouth hurt the whole time.
And he gets out his book, and you know, we see him over there working diligently, and finally he hands this note over to Mom, and it says, send me home swiftly.
But you know, the funny thing is, there were about 30 of those Japanese kids scattered around the farms of southern Illinois. They all wrote letters like that. But when you went to Japan, you didn't see him.
I did not. No, I didn't know of his existence till now. But if you would have told me, I would have gone on a search for him.
You know, Jackie, the other Ringhausen girl who's been on the show, keeps blowing noise about why she wants to go to Japan. What's in Japan to see? They don't speak English, do they?
They speak English, and the train system in Japan is very, I would say, English speaker friendly, because they've got all the signs, and it shows it in Japanese, and then it shows it in English. You can get around in Japan fairly easily. It's not.
Do they respect you because you won the war?
I will say both Japan and then Korea, because we also have been to Korea.
We didn't win that one easily.
No. You stand out. If you're on the subway and you're completely, the subway's packed, you don't look like anybody else. It's you.
On TV, when they show like hotels in Japan, they're like the size of a closet. Do you get like a big American size hotel or room, or when you stay there, or did you stay with Japanese people?
No, it was definitely, it was smaller. Everything, all the hotel rooms in Japan were pretty small.
Did you sleep like in a refrigerator size cubbyhole?
So those are capsule hotels. Those are kind of a specific thing that you have to seek out. And we didn't. We did just kind of a traditional hotel, smaller rooms, but traditional hotel for two of our locations. And then the other one, we stayed in a traditional Japanese inn, Ryukin.
What's different about that?
So there, that's where you're going to show up, and they take your shoes. You don't have your shoes the whole time.
What'd you say? You show up what?
You show up and they take your shoes.
I thought you said you show up naked.
No. They take your shoes.
That's
and
kinda creeped.
So you're barefoot, or you have on these little socks.
What if your feet smell?
Well, you got the socks. Oh, okay. And it's super clean, so you're constantly washing your feet or washing. It's very, everything's very, very clean there.
Well, if you don't like to wash.
Well, they're pretty strict about it. A lot of these traditional Japanese inns, they have onsens, which is like a steam bath.
Well, you can say that word, but you couldn't say chalet.
I could not say chalet. I'm still struggling with chalet. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
So you go to the onsen, and you have to wash off before you get in the onsen. And then if you are going to be in the onsen, you do have to be naked in the onsen, and you can't have tattoos. That's a big thing. No tattoos.
Thank God.
And you got to have your hair up. So like I had to have my hair all the way tucked up. My hair couldn't get in the water because that's unsanitary. Yeah. So that was a big thing in the traditional Japanese hotels. And then the other thing that's traditional about those is you're in a kimono pretty much the whole time.
Huh.
And you're typically, your meals are provided by...
They used to wear them on Johnny Quest too.
Okay.
When they went to Japan.
Yeah. So we had kimonos. So you're in kimonos and you're in slippers or you're in socks. And then they provide...
That's a different word than the dragon, right?
Kimono is the dragon. Kimono is the, yes, garment. Mm-hmm. Correct. And then you have your meals provided. And the meals are traditional Japanese meals, but they're you know, six or seven courses. But they're these real small, intricate, beautifully served meals.
Did you ever watch Karate Kid? The second one where we went to Japan?
No, I guess I haven't seen the second one.
No, anyway, the second one, he goes to Japan, meets some Japanese girl, puts him through the whole Japanese tea service thing. What a horribly boring thing to have to sit through. You didn't go to Japanese tea service, did you?
No, we did not. Oh, we did not have that, no. Just the food. The food was fantastic. You were getting served some stuff you didn't quite know what it was.
Did you? Was it all cooked? You didn't have to eat raw stuff,
did Oh, it? Constantly we're eating raw fish, but we do that here, so.
Oh, that's just wrong.
It's good there. I mean, it's good.
When you go out, when you're back home visiting your dad and you fish in the pond behind the house, you pull a fish up, you don't eat it raw, do you?
Well, no, but that's, you know, I'm not going to eat a catfish raw. It's a
Why
nasty
not?
Bottom feeder fish.
What's the deal? Oh, and you think that other fish in Japanese ocean are cleaner and nicer than a catfish in the Mississippi River?
I mean, I'm not filleting up a catfish and eating that. Like, I'm going to eat a piece of ahi tuna, but...
And I just, what I'm saying is... One raw fish is about the same as another one, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, no. They distinct flavors, for sure. And I will say, here, and we're big sushi fans, right? We get sushi a fair amount, and California is a good place to get it. But the sushi served in California is not the same as what you're going to get in Japan.
Oh, they make it raw somehow in California?
Different types of fish in each location. Like, there's not a lot of salmon that's offered. In Japan, they've got other types
What's
of fish.
What's the difference between sushi and poke?
I mean...
Poke. Isn't poke raw fish also?
Poke is raw fish, but poke is a little more localized to specific places.
It's
raw,
Alan.
Mm-hmm. It's aged.
Pokey's normally also in a marinade.
Do you eat sushi?
Of course not.
He refuses.
What's the difference between...
have you ever tried to get your dad to eat sushi?
He has tried.
How long...
Did he gag? Testament.
How long can sushi sit around before it's just a dead fish?
It's always a dead fish.
Okay, but just a dead, rotten fish.
Thank you. That's what I said. You know, like when she said fishing at your pond and pulls one out.
When I'm fishing at your pond.
You know, and just lays it on the ground. How long would you lay it on the ground and still eat it raw?
How do you know where those fish have been?
They've been in the Japanese ocean. That's all you need to know.
Right there.
They're at the Japanese fish market.
Have you ever been to one?
Yeah, the fish market in Japan and Korea, you see some interesting
things you've never
stuff.
Seen before in your life.
Yeah, it's just stalls and stalls and stalls of it. So yeah, much of it.
That's how you know Godzilla really could be real, because they have stuff over
things
there
you've
that
never
you've
seen
ever
before.
Seen before. Yeah.
So my favorite fish market experience was actually
Seattle.
Not in Japan. It was in Korea.
Seattle.
It was in Korea, not Seattle. I haven't been to
that's where they throw the fish, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Pike Place Market where they throw the fish. Right. I have been there, but that's...
Isn't that Seattle?
Didn't you get to catch
Pike Place
the fish?
Market
you said
Seattle.
You've never been to Seattle.
I've been to Seattle. Oh. Michigan. I said I hadn't been to Michigan.
Did you get to catch the fish?
I did not.
Did Alex step up and catch fish?
No, we didn't.
When you go to a grocery store and you go buy the grapes, you sometimes pick a grape and eat one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
When you go through that fish market, you sometimes just pick a fish up and take a bite.
Oh, boy. No. Mm-mm.
Just feel like fucking I've carved a little piece of raw fish off, taste it.
No, you're purchasing that fish. They're pretty adamant about you purchasing the fish.
They're pretty adamant about you purchasing your grapes before you eat them, too.
Well, that's fair.
If you, when you're over in, like, Japan or Korea, and you go through the open-air markets, and they have stuff cooking that you can buy food on a stick, what's the weirdest food on a stick you've gotten?
We got eel
rat.
On the stick.
Eel? What?
Eel. Yeah, barbecued eel.
Could you get rat if you wanted it?
I don't know. There's never been anywhere that there's been rat available. No.
You gotta go to Vietnam, get good rat.
There's been eel on a stick.
I'm thinking when you're handed something cooked in Korea, you better assume there's some rat in it.
I would say there was less cooked in Korea. The interesting things that we were seeing, well, there were in Korea, you could pick your eel from the tank, and then they were going to give you.
Cook it
see,
right
now, if I'm
going to
eat
right
eel,
there.
I want to pick my own eel, too.
Yeah, picking your eels was big. And then there was
What's
a lot of...
What's the name for a baby eel?
Conger.
Did you eat conger?
Why would you know that?
He said it before.
Gilet.
There were a lot of...
Do you know where every eel on the planet is born? Rick, tell her.
What's that?
Where's every eel on the planet is born.
Well, I don't know the
answer. In the Sargasso Sea.
Oh, yeah. They sail all
and
the
then they
river.
Swim up rivers. They start in salt water and they move to fresh water.
Every eel. Every type of eel on Earth.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
It just is. It's one of those miracles.
Is this one of those things where he's making it up and we kind of believe it?
Read the book!
You know what the first
hey,
example
Elizabeth,
of that? Where did that start? With
Elizabeth,
King Tut's tomb.
It's
that
in
was
the
something
Bible.
That you would say. Oh, okay.
It's in the Bible.
I'm going to have to look this up afterwards to see if this is one of those things that you've been making up.
People think I make things up like a chupacabra. They
you
exist.
Did my entire childhood. He'd be so confident, and I believe these things.
Because they're true.
It made you stronger, though. It made you look stuff up, didn't it?
It makes me less naive.
There you go. I've accomplished
now,
something.
Now I'm suspicious of anything anybody
everything.
Tells me.
You should.
You're as big of a liar as my dad. In that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. What time is it, Al?
Oh, we've gone over.
So it's about that time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been an exciting trip around the world, hasn't it?
Well, we got part of the way anyway.
See you later from...
Alligator.
Rick Gator.
Elizabeth Gator. Gator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli.
No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes. The part of Dora the Explorer was played by Elizabeth Ringhausen.